commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore would come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put into his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Powerful stuff. I remember when I first got exposed to the Holy Spirit, it was a brand new thing to me, and I just loved, I hung on to some words, and one of them that we're going to really emphasize tonight is that word power. The thing that drew me to the Holy Spirit probably more than anything else, even though I had been influenced by some people I think I've told you several times about, Denny Duron, a guy named Rick Berlin, and others in the Assembly of God Church that we got associated with. I mean, we were just drawn there. And this, it was just incredible. And what drew me to want to know the Holy Spirit more was this sense of lack of power in my life. I was a Christian. I knew I was going to heaven, but, you know, it wasn't that I was backsliding and then getting saved and backsliding and getting saved, which is sometimes the cycle we see people going through. But I just felt like I didn't have this real ability to live the Jesus Christ life. There was something missing, and I knew what I needed. I needed power. I didn't really use that word. I remember praying one time, asking God, said, listen, if I can't pull this off, I might as well just get out of being a Christian because I'm a very poor representative. I think I probably do more harm than good. But if I can't live the consistent life for the Lord Jesus Christ, then I just felt like a failure. That's how you express that sometimes when you're in the flesh and you don't know any better. I'd just gotten saved. I didn't know anything about church. I didn't grow up and never heard about the Holy Spirit. And man, I just knew that I needed something, and I knew that the power was in there somewhere, just didn't know exactly where. And I just love this verse of Scripture that he has promised us this power. And after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, man, I tell you what, everything changed. Everything changed. Well, let me tell you something that's not a part of Scripture, but it's just going to help me illustrate this point. If you ever probably think about it, you'll remember the name Roger Bannister. Roger Bannister was from England. He was the first man to break the four-minute mile. They said it is humanly impossible for anybody to run the mile less than 4 minutes. Now we have it down into 3 minutes and, you know, like almost 30-something seconds. It's amazing what the human body has done since then. He ran this in 3 minutes, 59.4 seconds. I mean, the narrowest of margins, but he made it. First man to ever break the four-minute mile. What you probably don't hear a lot about were there's two men. One of them was named Chris Brasher. The other was Chris Cataway. These men ran with Roger Bannister that day. He was on an oval track, and what he did was the first one ran with him and helped him to keep pace. And after he ran that first lap, the other one kicked in, a friend, fresh runner, and he ran with him to help him keep the pace. And then after the second lap, he fell off, and then that guy that ran the first lap kicks back in and ran the third. And then the other one that had a lap of rest, he kicks in, and he ran the fourth. And Roger Bannister, he was dubbed Sir Roger by the Queen of England, all this other stuff. But these other two guys, even though they're not mentioned, they're not joined in that, they are part of the record. You know what? They were just as vital as what he did because they contributed to that, helped him. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to come over and become the dominant thing in you unless it leads you to Christ and you victorious living in Christ. But he wants to come along beside you, and he wants to help you in all of the aspects of our Christian living. Roger Bannister did the impossible because he had some help. The Holy Spirit wants you and I to do the impossible, the even unthinkable, with his help. I get stirred. Dwayne Jones just has a great spirit. I love his heart, you know, and he apologized unless he said, I am so sorry. You know, he's worried about how that he wasn't able. You could see some of the things he just couldn't really click with his brain. He's had this stroke, and he has physical limitations and stuff like that. And he just feels like he's failing a little bit because he's not as mentally sharp and not as physically able as he used to be. But I told him, I said, Brother Jones, let me just assure you. I said, people saw your heart a lot more than they ever saw your vocabulary, your ability to remember names and places. I said, that's what was powerful about today. And the Holy Spirit wants to do that with us too. The Holy Spirit wants to do some incredible things, but I love what he was talking about. These things that we probably don't even think about. Now, it's not just in reference to Calcutta and Vietnam and Cambodia and places like that, God wants to do the unthinkable and the unimaginable here. He wants to do miraculous here. And it's not that we plan that, but we just get ready for the power of the Holy Spirit to use us in ways we'd never thought possible. What are some of the things he wants to do? He wants to help us to be a witness, the word of Christ, the word of the Lord just says. He wants to help us pray, power in our prayers, power in our lives to live holy lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, to resist temptation. I love Acts, the fourth chapter, where it talks about how that the believers were together and they were praying. And I don't know how you want to look at this, but the Bible says that they were praying. And it wasn't because they were so loud. It was just because the power of the Holy Spirit fell, that the place that they were praying shook. It literally shook. And I've only been in one earthquake, and it was here in Oklahoma. But it was the coolest thing in the world. Because I heard it, and then I felt it. And then all of a sudden I went, ooh, I felt bad for liking it. Because, I mean, it was one of those things going, wow, oh, this is brand new. You know, I don't know that I would be in the ocean and see a great white shark and go, oh, this is cool. I've never seen one before. And then all of a sudden realize, this is not good. But I did it in that thing. It wasn't good somewhere. Probably somebody had some cracks in their walls, that type of thing. But how cool was it that the Holy Spirit just responded to what the believers were praying and their prayer and powerful things. The Bible says that there were signs and wonders and miracles that followed that group of people. You know what? I know that we are not in competition with anywhere in the world, but I'm glad that we're still hearing about miracles and still things are happening. And things are happening all the time. Do you hear what Brother Jones was talking about himself? That nurse said, you're this close to a miracle. And then the doctor followed up and said, you are a miracle. How cool is that? That's something that God really wants to do. The Holy Spirit's role in the believer is not to get credit. It's not to do it for us, but it is to give us the power to live the life that Jesus Christ wants us to live. He's there to assist us. He's there to give us the power as he lays things on our heart. Acts 1:8, we just read it, but you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I realize there's a danger when somebody picks one word and just repeats it as if repeating it makes it valid. You know, you've heard the statement several times. Somebody say, well, you can stand in your garage all day long and say, I'm a car, I'm a car, I'm a car, and it doesn't make you a car even though you're standing in the garage. This isn't a trick that we're trying to play with the word power. We're just revealing what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit and the power he gives to us. And it's important. We need to yearn for that and want that. We're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And on that day, just like the disciples, when God baptizes you in the Holy Spirit, you're going to receive power. Now, I don't know what you're looking for. I was looking for the ability to live for Christ. I wasn't looking for tongues. I'd heard it was a part of the package. And I say that almost disrespectful, don't I? I don't mean that the way it sounds, but I didn't know any better. I literally told Rick Berlin, who led me in this process of praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I said, Rick, if tongues comes with it, fine. I just wanted to be able to get up out of there and know that as a young man, I was going to live a life victorious for the Lord Jesus Christ. I just wanted to walk the walk and talk the talk because it was in here. I was tired of all of the rules and the regulations and the things that I should be doing. I wanted to be purely motivated. And we know this happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts, the second chapter, verse number 4. But it was promised back earlier in Acts, the first chapter, verse number 8. This isn't just some old promise. It is the promise of God. Jesus said, wait for the promise. Listen, we get a lot of promises. We have a lot of things that we anticipate, a lot of expectations. We have a church out of God. A lot of people get to church today all over America, and they were expecting certain things out of the worship team. They're expecting things out of the preacher. They're expecting things out of the fellowship. They're expecting something out of the teacher and their lesson in Sunday school. All across the board, there were a lot of expectations. But this power is the power that God had promised to every believer that wants this power. He said, wait for the promise which you have heard me speak about. For John truly baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. When I heard about tongues for the first time, I'm going, what? I mean, I'd been saved for a year. And I'd never gone over there into Acts. I'd never gone over into Corinthians. I didn't even know that existed, you know. So I was just kind of ignorant. And I got in that and go, what is that all about? But all I know is the first time I heard somebody preach on it, I wanted it. Because I could see it in his face. I could see it in his life. I could see the energy there and the enthusiasm. And man, I said, I want what that guy is. Have you ever had that? Sure you have. I just see some of you go, I want what he's got. I don't know what it is. Now, a lot of us have gone to the restaurant. Some of you are just like this. You don't know what you want, and you look over here and go, that looks pretty good. Hey, I'll have what he's having. You know, that's all right, unless you're at the bar. But it just looks good. You just go ahead. You know, the Holy Spirit isn't some big mysterious thing, you know. And sometimes we're led to him by what we see in other people. That's okay. It's a draw. But you know what? We want it for our own personal self and not them. It was promised for a specific reason, and that is power. Listen, I know that sometimes we hate doing this, but will you repeat a couple things with me tonight? One is this, the word power. Just say word power. Power. Just want to make sure you heard yourself say that so that we're focusing on the right thing and not just listening for a second. Because I don't know where you are. I don't know if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if the Holy Spirit is something you do consistently. I don't know if it's been a long time since you've talked in tongues, prayed in tongues, sought the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit or not. But I guarantee you, all of us are on the same page when we say, I want the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to live for God. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of being powerless. I'm tired of being defeated. I'm tired of getting up every day, and there's just this struggle, whether it's against this body that doesn't do what it used to, or the job that used to not be what it was, and or struggles with tension and relationships, whatever you name it. I just want the power to get through that day in the right way. We're not talking about a surge of energy or a sugar rush or something that caffeine can give you. We're talking about something that only the Holy Spirit can give you, and I'm excited about that, and I think you are too. I guarantee this will be redundant for some of you, but it's important to go back to that word power, because when you look at the Holy Spirit and what he doesn't just deliver something mysterious, but it's connected with some good pictures in our mind. That word, power in the Greek is called dunamis, and that is the root word that we have for dynamite. Now, I'm going to tell you what, dynamite is anything but powerless, and I don't know how much you want to boil it down. I remember outside of a firecracker, you know, and I remember we used to have this, or they still call them lady fingers. It's just a little bitty thing, and they go, pow, you know. I mean, nobody's scared of that stuff, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, you get up in the M80 range, you better get out of there. And that's not a whole lot of dynamite right there. That's not a whole lot of gunpowder there. I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Spirit wants you to know, he doesn't want to give you a buzz. He doesn't want you to kind of get through just a little difficult time. He doesn't want you to kind of get a pick-me-up. He wants you to have power, I mean, true power. You realize he's not like a battery. He's not going to run out of power on his source. If we're lacking power, it's because we've turned something off on our end. And that's exciting what he wants to do there. But there's two double meanings to that word. One means more than strength and ability. You know what that means? It's talking about going over into the area of the supernatural. When we're praying for people, we're not just praying going, you know what, it makes perfect sense that these poor children we prayed for earlier, you know, they got snotty noses and they don't feel good and they're throwing up and they're making their mom and dad miserable and they need to get back in school. No, it's not a pity thing. We should be able to pray with the power of the Holy Spirit asking for their bodies to be released from this stuff. That's supernatural stuff. The other part of that meaning literally means this, power that is in action or operation, not something that just has, you know, there's a lot of power here. We have fuse boxes all over the place, and you know what? You can walk up to that, and whether it says high voltage or not, you know that behind there is an awful lot of power. But you know what? It's not just sitting there. It's not just sitting there with a label on it. The power we're talking about is something that is in operation, and it's active. It's people, something to see. The reason I wanted to baptize the Holy Spirit, because I saw Rick Berlin, who grinned every day of all his life. I saw him driving down the road one day. Didn't he know I was there? I'm going this way, he's coming this way. And the guy's just grinning like he's got a clothes hanger prying his mouth open or something. He was always like that. I thought, God, what keeps this guy going? And it just made me want to be like him. And there were people like that. Brother Ray Bell was one of the deacons in the first church I ever went to, Huffman Assembly of God. I can't tell you how many times I saw him down at the altar just sitting there, this older gentleman. He was probably my age when I knew him, and I thought he was just on the edge of death, you know. But, I mean, there he was, and he would just cry. And the altar would just be wet where he would just cry. And I go, there's something cool about that. It's power that is active, it's working, it's visible. It's something that everybody can see, and that's what we need to be a part of. God gave it to the early church for power to witness with great boldness. Just read Acts, the 4th chapter, verse 29. They experienced signs, wonders, and miracles, and that's what you and I want too. I don't care how you measure a miracle. I don't care if it's big. I don't care if it's little. I don't care if it's private. Nobody else sees it. I just want to see God doing powerful things. You know what? If tomorrow you're tempted to do something that normally you would cave under, but God gives you the power to not do it, and you do the right thing. Can I just tell you that's a miracle? A lot of times we start healing, start talking about miracles when tumors disappear, or, you know, $1,000 shows up in the mailbox. I'm going to tell you what, every time somebody surrenders their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and their sins are forgiven, that's a miracle. And when you start realizing miracles are happening all over the place, God just wants us to be a part of them. So why is this power so critical to the believer? It's because God says, listen, not only do I want you to have that power, but I want you to have that power so you can be a witness. You can be a witness. In my Christian experience, I have experienced witness two ways. One is you got to be a witness, and the other is living for the Lord, you are a witness. Got to be and are. The got to be is always when there's some kind of pressure that you're supposed to go out and tell somebody, and I feel like somebody's trying to get me to be something that I'm not. I have to have a personality that's not mine. I have to imitate other people and the things that they say and the things that they do. And God says, you know what? This isn't about imitation. This is about who you are as an individual, that I will give you power to be a witness. Power gives us that opportunity. Power rises out of a personal experience you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. We know Jesus Christ, you know what? It makes our witness relevant. Now, I got to tell you, anytime I go up to the hospital and you're in the ICU, you know, there are people there that they are open. They are open to prayer. They are open for somebody stepping into their life. You meet them at Walmart, they might feel a little intrusion there. They might be not exactly you're welcome. But I'm going to tell you what, their hearts probably haven't changed. The circumstances changed. But we just have to be that power, that witness. You realize every one of us is a witness by the way we live our lives. We know that. I mean, the things that you do. Some of you are witnesses because of the things you don't do. You don't do what the crowd does. You know, listen, we got some teenagers in here. We got some young kids and stuff like that. I hope and pray that they'll, whether you can handle it or not, that people are just kind of noticing that there's something different about you. You don't participate in those jokes that have sexual innuendos. You don't talk about the parties that you go to. You don't use those four-letter words. You're not bragging on stuff that you know good and well didn't happen, and you're not pretending and trying to be somebody. You're not boastful. You know what? You're just who you are. And I'm going to tell you what, in the hour of need, they're going to come to you because they're not going to be looking to all their buddies that have been lying because they know they're lying just like they're lying. They've been hiding behind a bottle and some kind of drug activity and sexual activity. They're not going to go, what's there? They've already found that as a dead end. They need to go to something that is live and something that is worth listening to. Matter of fact, you can't witness without an experience. An experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't witness unless you've had experience. Just like you can't lead somebody where you have not gone. So you know what? Most of the time, this power is just to be the people that God called us to be. We don't have to be anything else. I don't have to be a Dwayne Jones. I don't have to be a Billy Graham. You don't have to be me. I don't have to be you. God just lets us be who we are. He's built us and put us in this skin just to be who we are. He's designed you. And listen, a lot of us have had some external training to kind of motivate us and change us. And maybe we're not exactly what we would have been under different circumstances. But deep down inside, God designed you to be you. And in the midst of that, you have all you need to be a witness, especially when the Holy Spirit is involved. I want you to look at Peter's life. When he met Jesus, he left the nets. Remember, later on in his ministry, he walked on water. Jesus said, who did everybody say the other? It was Peter that stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Pretty powerful words, wouldn't you think? He was in the garden when Jesus, you know, said, when Jesus was there, Peter ripped up and, I mean, came out of nowhere and chopped the ear of that guy in the garden. Thank you. I'm getting Dwayne Jones disease up here real quick. Man, he's rubbing off on me. But, you know, see these powerful things, but yet, you know, he denied Jesus three times. Look at the difference after the Holy Spirit. He left the upper room where they were hiding out. Now he's out in the public, not because he has left to go to the garden, but because he's out there. He's walked around the crowd. He started preaching Jesus. The Bible says in Acts, the third chapter, he's the one that said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I'll give to you. And he just helped that lame man walk again. He preached to the Gentiles. There's a big difference between who Peter was before the Holy Spirit fell and after. And that's what we're looking for. Listen, that was me. I got saved. I was going to heaven. But there wasn't a difference. Matter of fact, there was just a struggle. And God said, that's not the way it is. This power is also crucial so that we can live a holy life. There's not a single person in here that's given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ that doesn't want to be successful in living for him. I want to live it every day, and I know that you do too. Here's what it'll do. It will draw you to the Word of God. The power of the Holy Spirit will draw you to the Word of God. It will take this Bible and cause you to want to grab it and hold it and read it and be a part of it. It will draw you to this thing, and you will glean things out of here that will just blow you away. And not just the regular stuff that you've heard. Hebrews 4 says this is a two-edged sword. It does an awful lot of surgery on us sometimes, and it'll draw you to it. It'll also make you aware of and sensitive to sin. But there's times when you're in a conversation, you're in a relationship or something, and then the Holy Spirit will just give you the power to just sense that this is not the right direction I want to go. This is just not the person I should be dating. I should not be doing business with these people. These people are starting to go, this conversation is going south in a hurry. This was supposed to be a prayer meeting. Now we're just gossiping about people. And the Holy Spirit will make you aware that we're going the wrong direction with this thing. He will stop you in the middle of your conversation and say, listen, just you think you're just being honest, but no, what you're doing is you're defaming somebody. You're slandering them. Don't you open your mouth anymore. You go the other direction. That's what he'll do. He'll make you sensitive and aware that this is not the right thing to do. But even beyond that, he will give you the power to turn from that sin. You know, identification really isn't our big problem. It's turning from sin and doing the right thing. That's where we need the power. The Bible says that when Satan comes at you, that we should turn around and go the other direction. We should literally just turn on him. The Bible says to flee youthful lust. Well, just because the word youth in there is and you're over 35 or 50 doesn't mean you're exempt. What it means is the power of that kind of temptation. And it's not just sexual stuff. It's not just gossip. But let me tell you what's going to happen. If you're headed this way toward the wrong thing and God says you need to just get out of there, because Satan is over the back of your shoulder saying, look at that. You should do that. Yeah, go ahead and say that about them. You're right in justifying all of your actions. The Bible says you should flee youthful lust, so I'm going to turn around and I'm going to book it the other direction. Turn around. Guess who's facing me? It's Satan. He hasn't disappeared. He didn't run around behind me. Now I'm facing him. The Bible says that, he has to flee from us. Only the power of the Holy Spirit will give you power to do that kind of thing. Without the Holy Spirit, you know what we do? All we do is focus on behavior. Isn't that frustrating for you? To measure your day, whether it's success or not, whether you behaved? And that is just the worst way to live life. I stayed between the lines. I did okay. You know what? There's this thing called the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And when I'm driving, I know what the letter of the law is. I see it right there. It's represented in numbers most of the time. I know whether I'm behaving or not. But it sure is cool when I know that I am abiding by the spirit of the law, which means it's okay to go 95 because my spirit says, let's go. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But the spirit of the law is, I don't want you to do 45 because it says 45. I want you to agree with why it says 45. This is a residential area. There are people that live here. Somebody could pull out in front of you, whatever. I want you to do 45 because you desire to do 45, not because you have to. That's the difference. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to live this holy life, not because we have to, because we want to. You know what it's called? It's called obedience instead of behavior. We're focusing on what? I want to obey the Lord. You know how alcoholism works, don't you? Well, I've never been an alcoholic, but I know basically what that theory is. You're addicted. Alcohol has literally performed a chemical bond in your life, and you're driven to that. So you keep going back to it and back to it. And from what I understand, the freedom that comes from that is not correcting behavior, but finally breaking free from the addiction. When you break free from the addiction, it's not about staying in the lines and refusing a drink. It's about, I have a new life. I have a new desire. I would rather do the right thing. And that's what we do as Christians. Obedience is what drives us. Last thing is this. The power of the Holy Spirit drives us, encourages us, invites us to serve. When you receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, He wants you to do a lot more than just live. He wants you to serve. And when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you just want to do more for God. You just want to get involved. You just want to be doing part of something. Sunday nights aren't, well, Mom and Dad had made me go, or I guess we better go, or whatever. It's like, something draws you to this place. There's churches all over the place that are killing their Sunday night services. And you know what? If only two or three of you showed up, I guess we'd have to encourage that. But, I just see your faces, and I go, this is so cool. I see the heart of the church here on Sunday night. I think there's something that says, you know what? I want to be there because I bet something's going to happen, and I just want to be a part of it. I just believe that's what it is. God forbid that I as a pastor go, well, you know, we haven't canceled yet, so I guess I better go Sunday night. Yeah, I hope that every time we come in there that we're anticipating something to happen, because God says there's just more. It's when serving becomes a priority, not an add-on to your life. You know, you get saved, you become a disciple, you read the Bible, you pray, you join the church, and then somewhere in there you got to start teaching a class or greeting people at the door or whatever. Who wants that experience? I want the Holy Spirit to just get a hold of me that I just want to do more. I just want to be involved. That's how I got in ministry. Man, I saw people, my friend got involved in children's ministry, and I saw how much fun he was doing. I go, I want to do that. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit because I had eight friends of mine. We cornered this guy that was preaching at Huffman Assembly. His name was Denny Duron. We just drilled him about the Holy Spirit, told us all about it. A week later, seven of them ended up at his apartment. He tells them all about the Holy Spirit. All of them, those knuckleheads, get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And now I got to hear them all just floating and getting all goofy and all excited and everything. And I felt like I'd missed the rapture, for crying out loud. I wanted what they wanted and everything. It was just this incredible thing. I just wanted to get it. So you know what? I went back the next time, and it wasn't Denny Duron. It was Rick Berlin that led me in that. It was awesome. But you need to understand, there's a big difference between training, the things that we learn in church, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. You know, there are a lot of people out there. They know the right answers. They know the right thing to do. They know where the danger zones are. They know where they can go and don't go. They know what words they should use and not use. They know how to treat people. They have all of those things down. But what you and I want is not a bunch of rules and regulations that guide us. I want the power of the Holy Spirit. I want the anointing of the Holy Spirit to curb my tongue instead of me going, well, no. I remember what my mom said, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. I don't want boundaries like that. I want the Holy Spirit to guide me. Because sometimes he wants me to speak up instead of just be quiet. I want the same power to go over what I would say. I want the same power to take me beyond what my limitations are sometimes, because that's what's needed. So here's the thing I know. One is what I know what to do. The other is what I desire to do. It's that burning thing in your gut. It's not just for you to feel blessed. It's not so you can just go, woohoo, that was a hallelujah moment. It's so that God can give you a desire to do something you never dreamed you would really do. Well, let me finish with this. Most of you remember this. Eric Little, he was a missionary to China. It was the 1924 Olympics, and he was over there running, but his family were missionaries. They were missionaries to China. And here's what Eric Little said to his sister. He said, God has made me for China. He said, but he has also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Wouldn't it be so cool if you just go to the office tomorrow, go to school, or meet your neighbor, and you know what? You didn't have to go, okay, be nice. All right, there's probably something you should say. You should be cooperative. Whatever. Wouldn't it be cool if there's something in your gut that God gave you this desire to be so much more than you are, even though you're just going to work? I mean, that's something that just bubbles over into your life. It just spills over into your life. It's why you become a witness. People see this in you, and they want it. It's a pleasure to serve him. So let me just share two last things with you. How do I know if I have the power? Listen, this is not necessarily scriptural, but it's really, really close. If you have the power in you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then there's three things you can look at. You have personal victory and joy. You are victorious. There are things that are happening. There's a joy in there that can't be robbed by sickness, can't be robbed by being laid off, can't be robbed by somebody raining on your parade, somebody saying something about you, backbiting over you, somebody at work jealous of how excited you are, just wants to make you miserable. Did you hear what Brother Jones is talking about, these people just testifying, reading their Bible, talking, preaching over there, and they're taken to prison for crying out loud. And it just goes right in there with them. They just keep singing and keep preaching. Fabulous stories. You have been a witness. If you have it, then you're witnessing. You're not trying to witness. You're not trying to learn how to witness, but there's something in there that witnessing. Whether it's verbally or your lifestyle, you are making a stand, whether it's a stand against or just standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something about you that identifies you as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a witness. And you have been serving. There's a place that God has put you. Well, listen, serving doesn't always have to be a job in the church. It's something you're doing. I mean, man, anytime you just feel led to do something for somebody, you're serving God. I'm going to tell you, I don't care if it's as simple as driving up to a stop sign and somebody's out there and God says, yeah, I know, I'm like you. We're not sure, you know, exactly what he's going to do with that money, but I just want to see if you'll give. Man, that's serving God. God just leading you by the power of the Holy Spirit to do something, to be nice when people really don't deserve to be nice. It's letting somebody get in the lane when you really don't want them in the lane, because after all, that would be one more car you have to pass on your way to work. You know, all kinds of things like that. Oh, I never knew. You guys would never do that. Last thing is this. If you don't have it, here's a couple of things to consider. Number one, you lose a lot more than you win. I got to tell you, I got sick of that. I just got so sick of feeling defeated and just feeling like, God, I can't even get back to where I was. And I just feel like all I is, my life is just set back and to catch up, set back and catch up. Instead of doing two steps forward and one step back, I felt like I was doing two steps back and one step forward. And I was losing a lot more than I was winning, and I knew that that wasn't God. And you can feel the power loss, just like a leak in a tire. You can't see it, you don't know where it is, you don't hear it, but you just feel that pressure going down. And you know that there's something leaking from you, and you don't feel that victory. You don't feel, you know, that anointing. You don't feel that sense of God's presence in your life. The last one is this. Instead of serving, you're struggling. Instead of being right there doing something for the Lord, regardless of what it is, regardless if it has a title, regardless if it's tied with a ministry or not, but instead of serving, you're struggling. Every day is just another struggle. You know what? It just tells you there's something missing there, and I believe it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I know with the power of the Holy Spirit, all of these things, they don't exist. He gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. He gives us motivation that we would never get from the greatest speaker. He gives us a desire that we can't find anywhere else but in Him. He gives us a desire to be in His Word and live for Him. And He shows us where sin is, and He shows us where the tricks are, and He shows us where the ambush is waiting for us, and we get to avoid those things with His power. That's what we need. I hope that you're hungry for power tonight. I hope you are. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. And in just a few moments, I'm going to ask that we would end this way. We end off in this way. That we, as many of you that will, you'll just come and flood this front of this church up here around the altars. That you'll just have your private time. They'll just find a place that you can just kneel. And just ask God to give you that power once again. Let's leave this place full of power tonight, okay? Hey, listen, I know what it's like. We had a flat tire with a trailer I was pulling the other day. You know what? I just had to make a decision to pull into Quick Trip. You know why? Because they get free air. Pretty cool. Holy Spirit's never charged me a dime for anything that He does. But all I had to do is just pull in. All I had to do is push that button. And you know what? It's really cool. That hose just started pumping. All I had to do is apply it to the tire. We're good, go, and I'm off and running. Tonight may be your night when you need to be filled all over again. Tonight may be when you need to find that source of power and tap into it once again. Tonight might be the night when you're sick and tired of being defeated and you're struggling and you have that imbalance in your life. Let the Lord give you that power. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray that you will draw us like you do to your word to this altar. I pray that we'll come, Lord, maybe not even knowing exactly what to say or what to do, but one thing we do know, God, we want your power. We want to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Lord, I can't tell you how many times I've been in the altar. And sometimes I didn't know who it was, but I felt a hand on my shoulder. And the minute that person started praying for me, I felt like there was somebody else in the fight. There was somebody that was joining with me. Half the time I didn't even hear their words. I just felt the encouragement. Tonight, I have a feeling without a shadow of doubt, the Holy Spirit wants to come and team with us, wants to come and partner with us, wants to give us that power that only He can have so that we can see Jesus in a way that we haven't seen Him in a long time. So we can start recovering and start recording, I should say, victories instead of struggles and defeats. So, oh God, tonight that we can come to you and understand that instead of losing power, we're going to gain power. And we're going to find a place to love you and to serve you and to be your witness. And it all starts tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Will all of you do me a favor? Stand to wherever you are. Even if you don't come forward, will you please just take this time. Just search the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and ask the Holy Spirit to do what He does. He will fill us with the power that God gives us through Him to live a life, a wonderful life of the Lord Jesus Christ. All around this place, the altars are open, up here by the steps, wherever. We're just going to let the Holy Spirit have His way tonight. Amen.